something in my ikhlas which has prevented these hadiyas reaching my asatizai kiram. And then after a year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, halaki was in Leicester, and the Arloom is about 3 hours away, 2 hours away. Then from Leicester it got all the way to the Arloom, and I think it was Maulana Qasim's son at that time that I had to phone special to give that. Allah give him jazaa khair. Then there used to be Abdul Rahimuddin when I was in Madinatul Uloom after I graduated. He's graduated Darul Uloom too. That I used to send something from there for my asatizai kiram. So I got pens made for my asatizai kiram. I got about over 100 made. Thinking that it has a message on it. It says, "Remember me in your duas." They're very beautiful. My asatizai are beautiful, so I have to give them something beautiful. So then I thought that it's a very good present to give somebody something. This is a materialistic thing if I give to somebody. But in return, if I get somebody's dua, which is not a materialistic thing, is more ihsan than this pen, number one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, I intend going for Umrah. I'm taking ijazah going for Umrah." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a very lovely sentence to him, "Ya Ukhay, O my little brother. Ya Akhi, O my brother. Ya Ukhay, my little brother." Understand? Ukhay, it's a tasgheer. And he said, "Do not forget me in your duas. Or remember me in your duas. Do not forget me in your duas and remember me in your duas." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, that sentence made me happy more than anything in the world. More than anything, the sentence of Rasulullah SAW, that he just said this to me. Rasulullah SAW saying to Umar ibn al-Khattab, so what do you learn from this? If it's a teacher or a sheikh, even to his murids, to his students, a father and mother can even say it to their children. My father-in-law, right now, he even said, when he gave us the message, he said, "Tell them all to make dua for me too." Older person, greater person, is a sheikh. What's the need? What Rasulullah's dua did he need of anybody? But he said this. And Umar said, it made me very happy. And he said, "Ya Ukhay, my little brother." So beautiful, Rasulullah. But see the hikmat in that. So actually, I made these for my asatizah. I made over about 100 first. And then I made about 500. And I thought that I'm going to, then I thought that I think so over about 200, 300. I don't know how much we have left. I gave one Ali 100 to sell. 100 got sold. I gave him another 100. And out of them, I took back another 20. And there's probably only about 50, 70. It's 50 left for my asatizah like that. That's the first batch that I got actually for my ustaz. And then to send them. But most of them I give hadiah. And then I told Ali, if people want to buy to give a hadiah, just sell it too. So we sell about 100. But over 200, 300, I just give like that. Why? It's not because something, the pen is nothing, and it's a very, very cheap thing, but it's very beautiful. But the message on it is, if somebody remembers somebody in their dua, my asatizai kiram, when I send a hadiah, alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I accept it. I'm just teaching you, because you learn things like this. And then everybody's going to say that, "Oh, there's a teacher, you're teaching us to give you a hadiah, because you're our teacher." No. It's not that. What's a $3-4 pen compared to your ustaz? Just this, think that this person's in Canada, and he must have a lot of students. He must have a lot of respect. Yeah, my asatizah knows. They knew from the time of Madinatul Uloom. Some of my asatizahs, they saw, alhamdulillah, through their tawajjuh and barakat and duas, alhamdulillah, my husband's tawajjuh, what he said, and that and those students right now, I send about 15-20 with Maulana Muhammad Ali, Lord, who came from Madinatul Uloom, where I used to teach after 2 years. Many of my students who became Hafiz by me, they're ulama now, and now they're teaching over there. Maulana Amin Rashid, Maulana Abdul Salam, all these are they were my students in Hafiz class at the beginning. Now they're ulama, they're teaching there, alhamdulillah. So even for them, I send this present. And to all friends, a lot of friends, I give presents here like this. But there's people in Etikaf here that I have not given thing. So you don't get anything for sitting here in Etikaf. If you sat here to get something, you're not going to get anything. You get from Allah. Understand? So this pen is not that you sat in Etikaf. No. The pen is from me that you make dua for me. Because I'm in need of you, especially after a person dies. My habit is I make dua for my asatizah. I make always dua for my asatizah. There's a lot of barakah. Imam Hanifa says, "I've never forgot my ustaz. After every single salat, I've made dua for my ustaz, Hamad." This is why Allah raised them so much. Understand? I told you, Hazrat Maulana Islam al-Aqsa, rahmatullah alayhi, my ustaz, my Shaykh al-Hadith, I was so fortunate to be with him in the last meal. I was so unfortunate that I spent 2 hours of privacy just before he passed away, just me and him. And he told me many, many things. I was so fortunate with him that I can never forget his ihsan, you know. And alhamdulillah, he used to hold my hand, and I used to take him to the car, and I used to pick his books up, and I used to take him to the car when he was in Darul Uloom, alhamdulillah. And I got to touch my ustaz, or he touching me, alhamdulillah, was a big ihsan of his. But he passed away in Medina Munawwara in that. Alhamdulillah, you know, I'm a lazy person, and I can't sit around reading 100 durood sharif from kitab. But the 40, you know, 40, the one that has a Sheikh compiled in the Fazail durood sharif from Hazrat Tanveer Zadu Saeed, all from Hadith. My ustaz, Hazrat Muhammad himself, compiled another 60 on top of that. Just for the sake that my ustaz has compiled it, and he's buried in Medina Munawwara, I think that it's his great ihsan upon me to read this every day. My Shaykh's 100, Huwallahu Alladhi La Ilaha Illa Rahman, Ya Rahman. So my Shaykh has compiled it. So my Shaykh, and he's also my Ustaz, and my uncle-in-law. He's also my relative and from my wife's side. He's also my Shaykh, and he's also, Shaykh is Shaykh, right? That's the highest. And he's my Ustaz too, who taught me many, many kitabs, my Shaykh. So, Ya Rahman, I read that 100 times. For my skin making, they don't need it. My ustaz wouldn't need it. And every year I do Quran khatam. And some for my individual ustaz, and one for all my ustaz. Because there's so many. I have over 40, 50 ustaz, 40, 50 teachers. Our Akabir Mashaikh, they used to have hundreds, 300, 400, 500 ustaz. A more ustaz a person has, that's the greater it is for a person. The more ustaz a person has, the greater it is for a person. Our Akabirs used to have, the Salafi Salihins used to have 500, 600 ustaz. That's how much places they used to go and get hadith and Quran from. Understand? And they had so much love and respect for their asatizai kiram. Understand? So loving your asatizai kiram is very, very important. So I got these actually made from my ustaz. And then I got about 100 made, then I got another about 500 made. You know, over 200, 300 I've just been thing to friends and that. I've been giving over 100 I sold. And I thought, okay, you know, this is a present to give to somebody because it has a message on it. Remember me in your prayers. And that's what a person, because a pen is a materialistic thing, prayer is not. Understand? Isal is swab, as a sheikh used to say, when a person goes to Umrah, he gives me Umrah, yeah, he gives me a tawaf, that's more better. Understand? Because this is something everlasting. If a person dies, what's going to happen? If somebody remembers somebody, if I die and somebody remembers me, they say that, oh, Zakariya taught us this, or once he said this and this, I acted upon it. It's about, okay, let me read Surah Fatiha, let me read a Quran Khatam, give him a Quran Khatam. Alhamdulillah, some of my students of Madinat Rum, still, now, you know, they write, and they say that, Ustaz, we've done one Quran Khatam for you, Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, I have a practice for my asatizai kiram too. And this is what, you know, it's a thing. So there's friends here that I have not given a pen to. Actually, you're supposed to give. You're supposed to start with the person who knows more Quran. Who's Hafiz here? Can I give? Yeah, Hafiz Sab will take some on the stake. Hafiz Sab. Give to Hafiz Sab first. I'll tell you the best color is... what color is the best? Green. Once I said to my Sheikh, I saw in a dream, you're wearing green, I'm wearing green. So he said to me, what's that ayat in Surah Kahf? And I said, Alladhina yalbasuna thiyaban khudra min sundasin wa yastabrakin, something like that. Right? So he goes, yeah, Jannati, inshallah. So he said that. So he's Jannati, mashallah, inshallah. And Allah will take me to Jannah with these akabir, my ustaz, my Islam, akbar, rahmatullah alayhi. Which color is that? Any? Green. I think there's only one green. There's only one like this green and like this green. Okay. Make dua. He's my peer brother. He's connected to my sheikh. And he's also Hafiz, and he also took out my mistakes. It's a big ihsan. Understand? You need somebody to listen to your Quran. Now, the others, now, the brothers who I've given, you got my dua. That's something more better. Okay? Rubaiya, did you get one before? You didn't get one. This his group. You guys give your group and the other brothers there. Wait, you know what? There's... Who didn't get one? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14, 15. Huh. Yeah, okay, 15, yeah. Oh, Hafsab, I forgot you. You're number one, I forgot. Huh? No, which one? Which color? Hafsab, you guys have Quran in you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he put the Ashabi Badr into the grave. No, not Ashabi Badr. Ashabi, the Shuhada of Uhud. Uhud in the grave. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, who knows more of the Quran? And he put the one that more hafiz of the Quran, he put him first in the grave. So what do you learn from this? What do you learn from this? If you're in a line and you see ulamas behind you in the line, you know, in ijtima sometimes, so you give ulamas preference because they have more Quran, hadith. If other people feel upset, you sacrifice your place because people will feel upset and give the alimka, so you'll act upon this. Because he knows more Quran. Understand? So if you respect the ulama because they know the more Quran, they, of course. Understand? So they get preference. Understand? And then Rasulullah ﷺ, he started off giving hadiyah to the older ones first. But Rasulullah ﷺ, in a dream, he saw he was giving miswak. There was two types. Awkama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or awkama qala fil hadith. Or like the way it's in the hadith. But in the hadith he was giving, and then the angel or somebody said, kabbir, kabbir, give to the older one first. So the older ones first choose. And then think, uncle Abdul Qadir with the white beard and the uncles, then give it to the other younger ones then. Remember me in your duas. This is not for you saying an etikaf. You don't get materialistic things. You're getting reward from Allah. Your etikaf is something spiritual. Understand? It's my asatizah's barakat, these pens. This really is my asatizah's barakat. When I saw this, the offer came to me. So I said, you know what? And it said, you can put your own message. So I said, you know what? I'm making 100 for my asatizahs. So I made 100. Then I said, let me make some more, 500, because it's good to give to hadiyah to people. And I gave about 200-300 out like that. Because I said that this is the best hadiyah you can give, because somebody sees it. In fact, some people said that to me. Okay, whenever we see this, we're going to make dua. I go, no, that's no good, because that's only the time when you see this. What happens if you lose it tomorrow? What if they said that? But at least what it is that when a person uses it, and pen is something everybody uses, you know, it's so beautiful, a person doesn't think, give it to your wife. Understand? And you can remember your dua. Some hadiyah to give to your wife. This is my ustad. Usually I send them attar. And attar with the ones that I send, there's one ustad of mine, he doesn't like the attar that I send. Because 90% of the ustads will like it, because this is the one that Hazrat likes, and those kind, right? Arakabir like. But some of them, they don't like this. You know, like, oh, then those, some ustadizas, they don't like that. I used to remember when I used to put it for the first... people used to put attar for ustad. No, I used to. First, I started putting it on the bench where the teacher starts hadith. So they would think, Hazrat Mu'ayyid stomachs up. He used to go like this. He used to, when he start the hadith lesson, well, I can't do it because in respect of the Shafi'i mazhab, I don't put on attar on the daytime. Sometimes some people offer me. Ali knows, so he doesn't offer me in the daytime. But many some brothers did offer me, but I did not decline it. But usually, he used to just go like this. I don't put on attar on the daytime because of the respect of the Shawafi brothers, the Shafi mazhab. One of Ismail Sahib was here in Etikaf with me from Sri Lanka. You guys know more Ismail Sahib? MashaAllah, he has four wives. Falling on the sunnah. So he was in Etikaf with me for 10 days. About 6-7 years ago. 7-8 years ago. One left. So there was 19? Yeah, I mean 20, you what? 20? MashaAllah. There's always either one, yeah, either this exact amount. Every time, Allah always puts barakat in something. But this one will stay in my pocket for somebody. InshaAllah. So when his stomach stuff, he used to go like this. And he used to start. And he used to put it right on his beard. And usually mine would be umber or something like that. Umber is brownish, blackish color. And my stomach stuff had an all white beard. All white. He didn't have hair. White, white. Beard, that big white beard, because he was 70, 80 years old, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, or Ustaz, and he would just take the stick and just go right into his beard like this. So beautiful it was. Hazrat. And some Ustaz, Hazrat, he would just look at that, he hardly would put it on. So I put the practice of putting it for the presence, and then some students did. So I said to some students, you know, if you're going to put Ustaz, Hazrat's not going to like that as you guys put. So many, one time I put it out there and people didn't really like it. Mullah Mufti Sahib or others made fun of it. So I go, but Hazrat's going to like it. When Hazrat smelt it, he goes, Saru Che. In Gujarati, Saru Che. So I said to everybody, see, Hazrat like my attar. I told you, you're not going to like it. Mufti Sahib didn't like my attar. So what I do is I send one type like this. It's very, very, people don't. And the one that usually people like, the ones who don't know about attar, you know. So it's a white one that I send. So I send that for the other asatizas. understand? That who don't like. I send both types to the thing. If they don't like that one, they can give it to somebody else. But barhal, a person, sati, it's not a, it's nothing, it's no ihsan of a student sending something to his thing. It's their ihsan that they touch it and they take it. One friend, he wrote a letter to Hazrat from here. He's my friend here. He's studying over there in Preston University. So he first, after some time, he told me, I give a letter to Hazrat, and then, Sheikh, I don't know, I was sure, what do I ask him? Okay, I didn't get no reply. I'll go, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You actually give a letter to Hazrat? Number one, how did you have the guts to give a letter to Hazrat? Number two, you're not even paid to him, I go. And number two is, you give him a letter, and then you're asking, did you have time to read it? And another thing, it was so sad, is in English. So I said, you know what? I've written 10, 20 letters to Hazrat. I probably got one reply back. I've never thought that he... But if you even looked at my letter, that's enough. Somebody gave me a letter in my pocket. It's in my pocket since yesterday. I didn't get time to read it. You know what I'm saying? There's not time to read letters, right? So right now, too, I sent a parcel of about 5 kilos with Maulana, so to my Hazrat. And I sent pens for all his kids. Everybody, the whole family. Hazrat's whole family. I counted his each family. And I just put Hazrat and his family. And I sent some other stuff, too. Now... There's only one message to Hazrat from Zakaria in my wife's name, and then I just put a message there. But that's it. In need of your tawajjuh, dua wa tawajjuh ka sakt muhtaj wa talab gar kafi. But that's it. If he just reads that much and he's just stuck, as Zakaria thought of me, khalas. And my ustaz, one ustaz, Mawlana Bilal Sahib, he's the last khalifa of the Sheikh Samir, told me that when he gave the attar to him, and that was it him? Yeah, was it Mawlana Ushad? It was Mawlana Bilal Sahib. He goes, oh, Zakaria still remembers us. He still remembers me. Oh, that made me cry, actually, when he said that to me. I go, how can you forget your ustaz? He's the last caliph of the Sheikh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakaria Muhammad Bilal Sahib. He came here too, alhamdulillah. We should call him here. He's an amazing person. He's an ajeeb person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he went to Albania and Bosnia and those places, after all that oppression that happened, he went in a state. For a year or two, he could not teach. He got into depression. He went to Albania and all those places where the Muslims were tortured, you know, Serbia and Bosnia and those places. And Allah Akbar, he's ajeeb ustaz, is Imam Bilal. All my ustaz, mashallah, Allah give them the best of this dunya and the akhirat. Materialistic thing is nothing. The main thing is a person, he acts upon what his asatiza say. That's the most. When somebody comes to me and they say to me that I've acted upon this, or, you know, this dua you said, can you write it down for me? I want to learn it. This makes me very happy. Or I prayed for you and I made this dua for you. Or I was in Umrah and I done a Umrah for you. I done a dua for you. Oh, that makes me very happy. And especially knowledge that you impart to somebody and they act upon it, that makes you very happy. Because that is the main thing. That is the main thing, is the knowledge that you give to somebody, they take that and they practice it and they preach it to others. That's the main thing. Understand? So materialistic things comes to an end. It comes to an end. But this thing, it does not. And in respect of tahadu, tahabu, give hadiyas in between each other, love grows. So it, one is this. This is a hadiya. I'm making dua for you. But Rasulullah, when he said tahadu, tahabu, it means something materialistic thing. Understand? So you give somebody, love will grow. Understand? So love in you. You know, if you're jealous of anybody, you have a sickness. You are jealous of somebody. So they say, Hazrat Tanvi, they write, what is the cure for jealousy? You talk good about him in a gathering. You send him a present. You send him a present. If you're jealous of anybody, send him a present. Talk good about him in a gathering. Do salam, obvious. Understand? So this is, then what happened is, your jealousy will grow and love will grow. You hate somebody, send him a present. Make dua for him, say salam to him. Understand? So these are the things you do. So this, that is when you hate somebody. I don't hate anybody. But the thing is that it's tahadu, tahabu, give hadiah. That's why a person gives a materialistic thing to somebody, is because of that hadith. And it's proven from hadith. And Rasulullah ﷺ did. Rasulullah ﷺ, he always wanted to pay back. Hanif told me that, you know, once Hanif was here in Atikaf, it was 5-6 years ago, and then I said that, you know, there's, if you ask a child, what's your favorite story of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a child will have a story, an elder will have a story, somebody will have a story of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a favorite story of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every story is a favorite. One of the saddest stories of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life is, he himself says, the most severe day upon me, Aisha, was that day, you know, the day of Taif, It was a very severe day on Rasulullah. That's a very story of crying. But the dua that Rasulullah made was extraordinary dua. The mountains were moved. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and Rasulullah was rahmatul lil alameen. So Rasulullah's one qadim, his name was Hazrat Rabi'ah ibn Ka'b. He was also one of those khuddams like Hazrat ibn Mas'ud and like Hazrat Anas and those, you know, from Ashabi Sufa who used to sit around, you know, and used to be around Rasulullah. They used to do the house chores, they used to do this. So he used to hold his shoes, he used to do his water wazoo and this and that. So he used to be one of those khadims too. And Rasulullah, it says that he would always like to pay back his person that done any ihsan upon him. So once he said, Ya Rabbi, ask, what do you ask for me? So this is I like to read the stories of the Sahaba, so it was in his life, his story. And this same Rabi'ah is that one, that one day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gets into argument with this one Sahabi. And Abu Bakr says something to him. And then Abu Bakr said, say it back to me. He said, no, I can't. So he said, then you know what, I'm going to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and telling him and interceding and making you say it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to me, because why? I don't want you to get me on the Day of Judgment. Abu Bakr Siddiq, this is the same Rabi'ah. Understand? When he went to Rasulullah, when they were going to, and they went, and his town, his Khandan people said to him, look, he's the one who pulls a fight with you and argues, he's the one who says the wrong things to you, and now he goes. So I said, Rabi'ah, even though he was a Qas Qadim of Rabi'ah Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what are we equal to Siddiq Akbar? They knew his status. So he said, you know what? If he goes to Rasulullah and Rasulullah, his displeasure and will be Rasulullah's displeasure, and Rasulullah's displeasure will be Allah's, and Allah's displeasure, then who will save Rabi'ah from ruin? Do you know who this is? This is Abu Bakr Siddiq. And how can I say such things to him? So when he went, and then Rasulullah was, then he told Rasulullah Abu Bakr, so he said, Rabi'ah, what you've done is right, that you did not say these things back, because Abu Bakr's shan is up there. You cannot say things back to Abu Bakr. Even if Abu Bakr said something to you, his status is high. But you could say, I forgive you for the sake of Allah, Abu Bakr. But this is that same Rabi'ah. So he was a qadim too of Rasulullah. He was a poor sahabi from the Sahabi Sufa. So he, once Rasulullah said, Rabi'ah, don't you want to marry? She said, Rasulullah, he stayed quiet. And you know, he knew he was poor. So he said, yeah, Rabi'ah, don't you want to marry? He said, yeah, Rasulullah, I'm penniless. No, he stayed quiet. And the third time, he said, Rasulullah said, don't you want to marry? So then he thought, Rasulullah is asking me, this is the third time he asked me, there must be something, I have to get married, because he's asking me. So he said, yeah, Rasulullah, yeah, but you know, I'm penniless. He goes, don't worry, go to so-and-so house, and this and that, and told some other sahabas, take care of his walima, take care of this and that, and he got married. But he was one of those qadims, so once Rasulullah always liked to pay back a qadim. And when Rasulullah used to get some goats presents, some sheep, he used to give it out. He used to give it to people. And any cloth, any money, anything he used to get, dinars, he used to give it, khalas. So once he said to Rasulullah said, Ya Rabi'ah, ask, I want to give you. Then he said, you know what, you have time to think over it tonight. And think over it, and think, what do you want? So Rabi'ah thought at night, you know, if I get this many goats, I can have this, she. And then he thought, Rabi'ah, what ruin are you at? You know, what are you thinking? Get to your senses. He said, well, those are all nonsense things. I know what to ask for Rasulullah. So the next day when Rasulullah said, Rabi'ah, ask, what do you ask for? So what did he ask for? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I want your murafakat, I want your companionship in Jannah. He said, Rabi'ah, that's it? He had no materialistic things. So he said, Aini bi kathrati sujood, help me with abundance of sajda. You do lots of sajda, and you pray your salat properly, and extra nawafil too, inshallah you'll be with me in Jannah. They asked for what? Real things that happened. Maulana was saying, Hazrat Ali did not even forsake Subhanallah, 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 Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Tasbih of Fatima at the time of Siffin and Jamal. Even on that night, he did not forsake it. And if a person gets fatigued at night, he becomes weak, yeah, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, after each salat and before you sleep, 33 times Tasbih of Fatima. It's called Tasbih of Fatima because this was the present that Rasulullah ﷺ gave them. What was it? What kind of present was it? Subhanallah, not a captive. Not a maid servant, not a gulam. Rasulullah SAW gave this to his beloved. What did he give to his uncle? Hazrat Abbas, come on. Salat tasbih. I'm going to give you something. So that's what he gave him, understand? So Rasulullah SAW and the Sahabas and very loved and cherished these things that Rasulullah SAW gave. Bayt to Hazrat Saharanpuri, engrossment in dhikr. seventh majlis. Hazrat Sheikh stated in Shawwal 1333 after Hijrah, Mahazrat Saharanpuri, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, may Allah illuminate his resting abode, was preparing to leave for the Hijaz to reside for an extended period. Many people flocked to pledge bayt to him. Like a little child wanting to imitate what others were doing, the desire to pledge the bayt sprang up in me too. I went to Hazrat and told him what I wished to do. Hazrat said, meet me immediately upon completion of my nawafil after Maghrib. Maulana Abdullah Gangohi, who was already honored with Khilafat, also saw and renew his pledge of bayt. When Hazrat completed his salat, Maulana Abdullah Gangohi is the one who's done the commentary or translated Ikmal al-Shiyam. That was the Saharanpuri. You know who Maulana Abdullah Gangohi was? Who was that person? He was a young child going to school. He used to be very punctual in five times daily salat in the masjid. And remember, the nazar of awliyaullah has an effect. Al-aynu haqqun. The nazar is haqq. Like the way there's evil nazar, there's also the nazar of tawajjuh of the awliyaullah. Understand? And this is whatever I have is tawajjuh of my asatiz and my shaykh especially. Tawajjuh. And tawajjuh of our elders. Like my uncle, Hazrat Maulana Hashim Sahib, I said, I grew up with him at the age of 12. And it was Khalifa of the Shaykh. You see, there's the Quran over there. Bring that other Quran. And I just want to show you. And I'm reading in there, especially that Quran there. Yeah, that one there. This Quran, Maulana Hashim Sahib, my uncle, gave me. And he wrote this, actually. It says, Muhammad Zakaria Ibn Ismail, Canada. He wrote it in pencil. I overlined it with red and thing. I shouldn't have did that. But why I didn't it? Because the pencil was fading away. And look, March from Maulana Hashim Sahib. And this is my old writing of 1983, if you see it. You'll have to. Let's try to read Arabic. 2 months ago. And you know the date? This is the date I became a Hafiz. So March 20th, 1987. So the first date, Hafiz Muhammad Fulad. This is my Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Fulad sign. He's got a royal bakery in Blackburn. I sent hadiah for him too. When he met me the day I graduated, I kissed his forehead and cried. And I said, because of you today, I'm graduating. Understand? The time when I did not know how to do istinja, you did not throw me out. Understand? There. This is the first sign. So you know this Quran, look, 1983. How old is this Quran? Yeah. My wife likes antique things. They collect those Olympic, you know, coins and this and that and make it antique. So I said, my son, I'll give him this. Muhammad, I'll give it. And Yusuf will get the other one. That one's 1987, yeah, I think. This is 86. This is how long? And I was showing my students, look, this is my Quran, and let me see your Quran. 2-3 years, and all ripped. I go, look at my Quran. Alhamdulillah, this is how old? 20? 28 years old. And Alhamdulillah, so I thought that right now I'm doing Quran, well, in Ramzan. So I thought, okay, Hashim Chacha, give me this. One of Hashim Chacha, my uncle. Let me read in it. He'll get all the reward. Understand? And the other one, I think I bought it in Darulum. That's my Quran translation in there. So I said that when I go and leave the world, I'll give this one to my son Muhammad, the other one to my son Yusuf. And they can give it to their children and carry on. And Mawlana Hashim Sahib gave me that. So I read it for the sake that my uncle gave it to me and he'll get the reward for it. And all the times I read, understand? He'll get the reward and the Quran khatams or whatever I do, he'll get the reward and he gave it to me. I remember the time he gave it. He gave one to me and my brother. And my brother has his too still, Zubair. And we didn't know what a buzruk was. We didn't know what a waliullah was. We thought the bigger the person has a beard or the more whiter it is, the bigger buzruk he is. And if he has a black topi, he's a qari. We didn't know this. But that's what we thought when we went to the Ardham. We didn't know what a hafiz qari was. We thought it takes about 20, 30 years. His son, he came to Manchester Airport. Khalil, Malvi Khalil. That time he was very skinny. He came and he was 13 years old. I was 12. He was 13 or 14. So he goes, hafiz. I go, he's hafiz. How old is he? He goes, 13. I go, 13? How long did it take you? 10 years? When did you start? He goes, no, it just took me 2-3 years. I go, 3 years? I go, oh, how did you become Hafiz in 3 years? Oh, I thought it takes 10, 15 years to become Hafiz. Barhal, Allah made me Hafiz in three and a half, 4 years. But Allah made. And it was a barakat of my asatidah, especially Hafiz Muhammad Fulasa, right at the beginning of my asatidah. I remember all my ustaz, Qari Abbasa. I don't know if you ever meet Qari Abbasa. He used to do Tarawih here in Jami Mosque. Jami Mosque, the first graduate from the Ulum that came in Jami Mosque, and like a Qari too, he used to do. Jami Mosque was also once upon a time, it was a Markaz. Understand? When we were small kids, it was the Markaz before Medina Masjid, the Jami Mosque. But now, it's in the hands of other people. So now, he used to do Tarawih there. He's my ustad too. Maulana Yusuf Qari is my ustaz in Hafiz Qari. Hafiz Ali, I've done the last 4 or 5 juz. Maulana Farooq, the one with the thing hands, the cut off hands, I've done the last 13, 14 juz with him. So all my satizas of even Hafiz class, I remember, alhamdulillah. So We're reading this. So I just wanted to show you that Quran. I was thinking to show you guys that Quran, one is, it is antique, and that's something you can keep as antique. You know, people want antique things. We used to have a coin collection, stamp collection. So my mom gave it to me, so I give it to my children. I said, take it. And when I was small, I like to collect coins and stamps and that. But I go, what I treasure is my Quran. And then I'll give it to my kids, give it to them, pass it on, the Quran. Just give Quran and the kitabs, but the Quran especially, understand? So that becomes antique, understand? And like I told you, that Brother Saifuddin, he showed us a 500 years old Quran, handwritten. So, I remember when I saw my Hazrat first, when I got baited to my Hazrat, when I saw my Hazrat the first time, when I saw him, I still remember the clothes he wore, and I remember where I even met him. I remember he was wearing a brown, at that time Hazrat never wore a jubba. Hazrat didn't have an imam at that time. He had black hair, and he had dark glasses. And he had a brown color kurta and brown color izar. He didn't wear jubba at that time, Hazrat. And he was walking outside the Jamaat Khana. That's the first time I met Hazrat. My uncle, Mona Hashim Sahib, he took me and my brother to my sheikh, the first time I met him. And then when I got bait, I remember there was another Bengali person who got bait on the same day with me. That's what I remember. And it was in March something, I think. So as the Sheikh stated, in Shawwal 1333 after Hijrah, my Hazrat Saharanpuri, like a little child wanting to imitate what others were doing, the desire to pledge the bait sprang up into me too. I went to Hazrat and told him what I wished to do. Hazrat said, meet me immediately upon completion of my Nawafil after Maghrib. Maulana Abdullah Gangohi, who was already honored with Khilafat, also sought to renew his pledge. Oh yeah, that's right. So Maulana Abdullah Gangohi used to come to the masjid for five times a day. Salat. He was studying in a public school. So there was one of the great waliullahs of the time, Hazrat Maulana Yahya Sahib. You know Maulana Yahya Sahib? Maulana Ilyas Sahib's older brother, Hazrat Sheikh's father. He was a genius, a master. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Hassan Gangohi says three people's hafiza: Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, and Maulana Yahya Sahib's hafiza, quwwat-e hafiza. Maulana Yahya Sahib, Hazrat Sheikh's father. He was a genius. And that's why Hazrat Sheikh only studied by his father and his uncle. He said, you can't study by nobody else. But Hazrat Sheikh was very sharp too, like his father. Understand? And if you're too sharp of a student for, you know, a dull teacher, you know, thing that, so his father and all those thing, his father's thing, Hazrat Gangohi, when he used to think, he wrote his taqreer in Arabic. And then Hazrat Sheikh has put a thing on top of that, his commentary, Al-Kawkub al-Durri, the commentary on Bukhari. You know, I told you that Syrian Sheikh Alim who came to Makkah or Medina met Hazrat Sheikh, he kissed him on the forehead. He said, 13 years I've been making dua that I meet the author of this book, the Syrian Alim. So that was Al-Kawkub al-Durri. Hazrat Sheikh's father's notes from his ustaz, his sheikh, that Hazrat Sheikh put on. That's the commentary of Bukhari. So Hazrat Maulana Yahya used to see this youngster who used to come to the masjid. So he was attracted to, because this youngster is coming to the masjid. Look, youngsters don't come to the masjid. So he said, child, what do you do? He goes, I go to this primary school. Yeah. So he said to him, you know what, child? Why don't you study Arabic by me too? So he said he started and then he forsaked his school. Imagine. And then Hazrat, it would be times that he would do rut of his gardan, and then all day, and then Hazrat Maulana Yahya Sahib would say, oh, all day, and you only have... So he would say, oh, I tried my best, and you start crying. It was so sad that you read this in Abiti, and then it makes you cry. That Hazrat Maulana, this Maulana Abdullah Sahib, this is the Maulana Abdullah Sahib. He was a child who used to come to the masjid. Hazrat Maulana Yahya's tawajjuh became on him, got onto him. Bas. Sometimes a bazook looks at somebody with a special nazar and it changes the person. So then he spoke to me. He said, what do you do, child? He goes, I just go to this public school here. So he goes, why don't you study Arabic by me? And he became a great alim and he became a khalifa of Hazrat Saharanpuri rahmatullahi. And Allah took the work of Ikmal al-Shiyam from him. That we read, he did the work. So he was a great sheikh. When Hazrat completed, in fact, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, he wanted a special student to teach at his place. And he was sent, Maulana Abdullah Gangohi. He said to Maulana Yahya, I want one of your special students because you're a special teacher. So he sent this Maulana Abdullah. So he became the ustad of people like Hazrat Ghaliban, Hazrat Maulana Hazrat Tanvi's nephews in that. He became the ustaz, the Mawlana Abdullah Sahib. When Hazrat completed his salat, he called us both close to him and stretched his hands out for us to hold and led us in declaring the words of bait. Mawlana Abdullah Sahib started sobbing and then burst out weeping loudly. Hazrat also felt the effect of this. Hazrat's voice broke with emotion. My father, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Yahya Sahib and Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri Nawarallahu Markaduhuma, may Allah illuminate their resting abode, were both seated in the mazinain floor above. My father moved to the ridge to find out where these sounds were coming from. What did he see? He saw me pledging the bait. He was surprised at this and felt that without informing or consulting me, he made this major decision. Understand? Hazrat Sheikh didn't do nothing without his father's approval. But this, his father was surprised because he had the guts to get bait to Hazrat just like that. Hazrat Raipuri after supported my decision and made a lot of dua for me. When it came to printing the Basal Majhud, then arrangements were first made to print the Kitab in Meerut. Thereafter, it was decided to print it in Maulana Shabbir Ali Sahib's press in Tanabon. Yeah, the Maulana Shabbir Ali. It was my practice in those days to leave for Tanabon on Thursday evening and return on Saturday morning. I undertook this journey every week or at least once every 15 days. If the press was open on a Sunday, then I will extend my stay for one more day. I did not engage in dhikr and shughal after bait. My dear uncle was my guardian. He often told me, engage in a little dhikr and shughal. I will reply, each one was created for a specific purpose. Understand? Hazrat Sheikh said, each one was created. And his uncle, Hazrat Mawlana Yahya Sahib, said, you should do some dhikr and shughal. But Hazrat Sheikh's wilayat was completed without dhikr and shughal. Understand? Some people are like that. Am I expected to teach Mishkat Sharif and prepare my lessons too, or must I engage in dhikr and shughal? During those journeys to Tanabon, Hazrat Maulana Zafar Ahmad Sahib Tanvi, who is my ustaz, I studied Nahwa, Mir, etc. by him and just received his khilafat. So Hazrat Sheikh also received khilafat from him. He narrated lengthy dreams and great spiritual revelations to us. We teased him a lot. One day he wrote the Ijazat Khilafat for me on a piece of paper. I did not accept it and told him, I am unworthy of this. Hazrat Sheikh said, I don't accept the Khilafat Ijazat. He said, This is what you should say. I thought that if this is how Khilafat is obtained, then it is very easy. However, after Maulana Zafar Ahmad Sahib's note of Ijazat, the thought of engaging in some zikr and shughal entered my heart very strongly. I wrote a small note to Hazrat Saharanpuri saying, Hazrat, with your consent, may I take leave from the madrasa for a few days to engage in zikr and shughal. Hazrat replied, there is no need to take leave from the madrasa. Do a little along with your madrasa duties. I did as he said and realized that dhikr and talim can be managed and safeguarded simultaneously. When Haji Sahib accorded Hazrat Akdas Gangohi Ijazat, Hazrat Haji Sahib said, I did what I had to do. It is now your work ahead. Hazrat Gangohi stated, I died and withered in silence after that. A salik is one who continues walking. A person should continue trying till the end of life. O brother, these doors are infinite. Do not halt at every door. The Shaykh stated, this is why Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to do zikr right until his last age. And people say, you still do zikr? He goes, yes, because of the zikr, this is what I've got to this stage. And how can we forsake this? So a person, a salik, a person treading the path of recognizing Allah and getting Allah's pleasure, then he never forsakes. In the early ma'mulats, all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'mulats that I've started from the time my Hazrat told me right from the beginning, alhamdulillah, I practiced them. Even Hizb al-Azim, the Muqtasar one, I still read it. And I stand looking in, I still read it. Even though I know most of it off by heart, all praises for Allah. This is what? The tawajjuh of my Shaykh. If I read a letter to my Hazrat, Hazrat, tomorrow I plan to go to the moon. And Hazrat thinks, yes, Zakariya should go to the moon tomorrow, I'll be on the moon tomorrow. Understand that? No. Understand? Hazrat Sheikh stated, I was not one for the dhikr and shughal. I did not realize that all the elders will depart and I will be the only one left for you people. Weeping, I wasn't a person to, make people bait and all that. I never wanted to do all that. But I didn't know, okay, this would be that thousands and thousands of people would, because only I'm left now. Weeping and with great sadness, he said, I am willing to endure any difficulty if any one of you will benefit. So Hazrat Sheikh, he used to feed thousands. People say, you spend thousands and thousands. He goes, yes, if only even one person says Allah with ikhlas and that is accepted, and Allah accepts us all, then all my feeding is accepted. Khalas. That's how the Shaykh's ikhlas. Understand? Value your time. As the Shaykh stated, time is very valuable. Appreciate the value of the little time you are blessed with in this life. The hadith instructs us that the servant shall make provisions for himself in his lifetime. And from this, his life for his... And from his life for his death, and from his youth for his old age, and from this life in this world for the life in the hereafter. Prepare for death before the life ends, and for his old age before his youth ends, and for the hereafter before his worldly life ends. Understand your youth. So prepare for old age. Your every breath is like the palm of Musa. Thus flux and reflux is a string of pearls. Majlis 8. Hazrat Madni and Hazrat Raipuri's character preparing a meal for 12 in 11 minutes. While we were having our meals today, a large group of people arrived without prior notification. As a result, we ran out of food. Hazrat's close attendants had not yet taken their meals. Hazrat was greatly concerned about this and alternate arrangements were made for their meals. Hazrat stated, "May Allah grant Hazrat Aqdas Madni and Hazrat Aqdas Raipuri an elevated status. From amongst our elders, I experienced the company of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, the least. Until 1334 after Hijrah, it was as if he was under house arrest. In the year 1333 after Hijrah, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Hassan rahmatullahi alayhi, departed on his journey. He was imprisoned in Malta for the next 7 years. On his return from Malta, he remained very ill for about 1.5 years and then passed away. Whenever Hazrat Aqdas Madni rahmatullahi alayhi passed through Saharanpur on his way to or from Lucknow or Roorkee, he always visited me, even if it was for 10 minutes. One night he arrived at 10 p.m. It was raining heavily outside. He knocked on my door and said, 'Open the door.' I asked, 'Who's at the door?' When the door was open, he said, 'The train was delayed by 2 hours today. I felt it was best for me to rather come and make your darshan. And he pay homage to you.' With love, I said, 'I feel uncomfortable hearing those words from these blessed lips.' I offered him tea. On another occasion, he arrived at my house at 1:30 in the afternoon. As soon as he met me, he kissed both my hands. When I wanted to recuperate, he gave me no opportunity to do so. Maulana Mubarak Sahib stood behind Hazrat, and 10 other personalities stood behind Maulana Mubarak. We shook hands and I inquired whether they wanted to eat. Hazrat said, 'If we had eaten already, then why will we come here to your place?' I walked into the house barefooted. My daughters till this day plead with me to allow them to prepare the food for the visitors. I tell them, if it is just 20 to 25 people, then it may be possible. But to prepare a food for 500 people is difficult. They continuously plead with me to allow them to assist in attending to the needs of the guests. Inside the house, my family told me that there was no roti or gravy left. They said they had flour. I said, "Net the door. I will hurry to buy gravy somewhere." As I step outside, our Sufi, the butcher, came rushing towards me. He said, "I have 2 kilograms of mince. You want it? I took the meat from him and went inside. The dough was ready and the ghee and the masala spices was already hot in the pot. They quickly washed the mince and put it into the pot. Consider this my karamat miracle, or Hazrat Madni's karamat. I went outside and asked the guests to wash their hands. This was a party of 12 people. In 11 minutes, hot rotis and mince meat was served on the dastakhan. I'm not exaggerating one bit in this. I seated these esteemed guests at the dastakhan. Hazrat Lama Ibrahim Sahib said, "Were you aware that we were arriving, or were you informed through kashf, divine inspiration?" I replied, "The meat was purchased after your arrival in this house." He was surprised and said, "I cannot understand this." I said, "All matters are not based on logic and reason. Please eat your food." Hazrat also remarked, "Eat your food." Hazrat then told me, "I was on my way to Raipur to express my condolence at the death of Maulana Muhammad Ishfaq Sahib, our senior Hazrat Raipuri's nephew and a member of the Shura Committee of the Audum Deoband. I intended to go alone. These people learned about my plan and they decided to accompany me." And Hazrat Madni was always, whenever he would leave Deoband and go. He would teach Bukhari in Deoband, so he'd leave and go. And every time Hazrat Madni would go anywhere, 10-15 people would go along with him. 10-15 great ulamas of the thing, they would go with him. So he goes, these 10-11 people came with him. On another occasion, about 8 to 10 people arrived in my majlis after Asr. I asked, "What brings you here?" They replied, "We are from Roorkee. A jalsa is taking place here. We want you to accompany us to the jalsa." I said, "Ask Nazim Sahib to accompany you. I don't deliver lectures, nor did my father ever deliver lectures." And when they persisted, then I expressed my annoyance. They left except for one who stayed behind. He said, "We've just come from day one. Now, Hazrat Madni was scheduled to be present at the Jalsa, but he has suddenly felt very ill. We pleaded with him. He said, I will only come to your Jalsa on condition that Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith also accompanies me. This is the reason all these people came to plead with you. Hazrat Shaykh narrated many similar incidents of Hazrat Madni. For further details, refer to that. And they wanted Hazrat Madni to come to the Jalsa. So they're begging him. Now, to deny people is not so easy. Understand? How much can you let people, you know? So then he said, you know what? If Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakai in Saharanpur comes, I'll come to the Jalsa. Meaning that he's never going to come. I'm not going to have to go. Understand? So this is the connection he had. If he came to Saharanpur, Hazrat Shaykh was wearing some other type of cloth, not qadr. He would take it, he would pull it here and rip it. Take it off. That's how much Hazrat Madani. Hazrat Madani was Sayyid. Hazrat Shaykh was Siddiqui. Understand? So Hazrat Madani had a lot of love for Hazrat Shaykh, rahmatullahi alayhi. A lot of love for Hazrat Shaykh. And Hazrat Shaykh used to love him like anything too. Hazrat Shaykh stated, Hazrat Agdas wants so much love. So he said, you know, to Hazrat Madani once, you are a Kabir Mashayikh, you know, they were also busy in Zikr and that, and you're busy in this Jalsa, that Jalsa. Because he was the member of parliament too, in the Congress of India. India. They wanted to give him an award too, but he said, no, I didn't do any of this for an award. Gandhi and all these people used to respect him. And what through the sacrifice of our ulama is India. Or the country is what in freedom is. All our ulama has done so much sacrifice, more than any Hindu or Sikhs or anybody. It's a fact. Understand? Hazrat Maulana, Hazrat Madani, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Shaykh Al-Alam, Hazrat Muhammad Hassan, Hazrat Maulana, Hifzur Rahman, Siharwardi, Manabul Kalam Azad, all these people, they've done a lot. So he said to Hazrat Madani, so is this what you do? How about our line of zikr in that? So he pulled out some letters from his murids, Hazrat Madani. And Hazrat Shaykh was surprised to see some of them 20, 30, 40, 50,000 ismizat, Allah, Allah day. She goes, Hazrat, Ajib. Alhamdulillah. See, he has such murids too. Understand? If you've seen Hazrat Madani's murids, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, I was fortunate to see many. Once, when we were a child, about 6, 7, 8 years old, for over a month, Hazrat Hussein Ahmad Madani's murid and Khalifa, Hazrat Maulana Abdus Samad of Gujarat, he stayed in our house. Understand? Alhamdulillah, when I was a child, Hazrat Madani's Khalifa, Alhamdulillah. And his son, Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani, that was his Khalifa too, Alhamdulillah. It's fortunate. I didn't do qadr of Hazrat Madani, Ajib. Hazrat Shaykh narrated many similar incidents of Hazrat Madani. For further details, refer to Abiti 4, number 4. Hazrat Shaykh stated, Hazrat Agdas Raipuri sent a message to me during his last illness, an illness that lasted for about 5 to 6 years. He said, look, when I was healthy, I visited you every month. Hazrat spent 3 days every month here with me. Now these Hazrat looked towards as his elders. And they all used to come to that station. But you know, Hazrat Shaykh's, it was a station for everybody. League, Congress, all the different political parties, even the Jamaat Islamis, even the Maududi type, even the Salafis, well the Salafis, Ahli Hadith, even Ahli Hadith, everybody used to come to Hazrat Shaykh. Hazrat Shaykh had Ahli Hadith students. They got bait to him. And they wanted, once they said that, you know, we'll let go of Rafi Yadain, he goes, don't forsake Rafi Yadain because of my taqreer, but if the Hadith is in your heart. Understand? So this station, Hazrat Shaykh's Kacha Ghar, it was a Kacha Ghar too, like the Prophet ﷺ's house. When Shah Ta'Allah Bukhari came, he was a Sayyid too. He looked and he goes, it reminds me of Nana Abba's house, my great grandfather's house, the Prophet ﷺ's house, your house. So that was a station for every type of people. So these, Hazrat Raipuri, Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri was his elder. Hazrat Madani was his elder, he used to call them his elder. So Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Raipuri says, when I was healthy, I used to come to you once every month. Now that I'm sick, now you have to come to me. Understand? So Hazrat spent 3 days every month here with me. Now my meetings are in your hands. I observed his advice diligently. Maulvi Yusuf Sahib, and Hazrat Ji, Maulana Yusuf Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf's son, wanted me to accompany him to one of his Hajj journeys. I told him, you proceed. If I do come, then I will come with Hazrat. Hazrat was very ill in those days, and Hazrat Raipuri. He was living in Bahat House, and I asked Hazrat, I wish to go for 2 or 3 days to Nizamuddin. Hazrat replied, I may die during that period. When I heard this, I cancelled my journey. Hazrat stayed in Bahat House for 3 months. I visit him daily. After teaching the lessons, Hazrat Shaykh stated, both these esteemed personalities were men of exceptional tolerance or were concerned with pleasing one's heart. Hazrat Shaykh stated, On one occasion, Hazrat Raipuri was returning from the Punjab. A Tablighi Ijtima was taking place in Saharanpur. Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib delivered this lecture in the Islamia school. After the lecture, we went to the station at 2 a.m. to welcome Hazrat. I told Shah Masood to bring his car here before the Fajr Salat so that Hazrat can leave immediately after that for Raipur. Hazrat, may Allah illuminate his resting place, heard about this and said, I had already planned to stay here for 2 or 3 days. I said, absolutely not. Drink your tea after Fajr and depart. Bhai Altaf is already running a very high fever. Hafiz Abdul Aziz Sahib, who expressed his displeasure at Hazrat staying longer in Saharanpur in strong language. Hazrat departed for Raipur. When he reached there, he told the people, look, this is love. They did not want me to stay in Saharanpur due to the excessive heat there. This is love. They did not, yani Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, and this is love, that even though his heart desires that have Hazrat like a big Shaykh here, but because of this extreme heat, and Hazrat was on a journey, and he was ill, he said that, you know, you kill your desires and you send him home. Like Hazrat Tanvi used to say, there's three ways of giving da'wat. One is, when all these akabir mashayikh comes, they have to go here, then they have to go there, then they have to do bayan there, just for a little dawat. And dawat, they get to eat plenty of food. So Hazrat Tanvi used to say, there's three ways. The best way of giving dawat is you intend to give like a dawat to a shaykh, then you give, when they come from India, Pakistan, these akabir mashayikhs, and you won't give them dawat, so just give them an envelope with $100, $200 or $50, whatever hadiah, just give them. This is a dawat. The second way is you take the food, like the food comes to us here at Etikaf. That's the second best way of da'wah. And the third way is trouble the person to come to your house. Understand? Hazrat Tanvi used to say that. And really, I seen these akabir mashayikh, my ustaz, when Ma'abdur Himsab comes, he has to go here, he has to go here, he has to go here. And when he comes here, Ma'abdur Himsab, I don't go nowhere in Ramzan. No matter how big shaykh comes, but when my ustaz, Ma'abdur Himsab comes, in respect of him, I go, because he's my ustaz. And then after, even when he came now for 3 days, then it was about 12 or 1 o'clock when he finishes bayan in Ramzan. And then he had to go to somebody's house. Now he said, Zakaria, come along. He doesn't tell anybody else, but he tells me, come along. So, Chala Zakaria. And then I said, if you want, I'll welcome. So he goes, no, I want you to come. I go, okay, Chala, let's go. I went. So it's my ustaz. I don't like to go in Ramzan. I don't like to even go to bayan, but I only go to my ustaz, not bayan, his dars. I don't, ustaz bayan, ustaz dars, his dars. His, what I used to say was dars, and it's still his dars. Because dars is something different. A person goes as a talib ilm. Bayan, wah, great bayan. So a person should study knowledge or seek knowledge to act upon it and to learn something, not sitting in bayan or majlis. Our Kabirs didn't do bayan. Hazrat Sheikh never done bayan in his life, never. Never done bayan. He never ever done bayan. These were just majalis in Ramzan for 10, 15, 20 minutes. Understand? Hazrat Sheikhs. Bayan in that, these people, their hearts spoke. Khalas. Understand? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow in the footsteps of our Salafus Salihin, our Akabir Mashaykh. Ramzan's coming to an end. Spend these time, especially today before Maghrib, make dua. It could be the last fasting. If Allah wills, maybe tomorrow. I'm making dua, that is 30. Usually I make dua for 29, this time I'm making dua for 30. I don't know why. But whatever Allah wills, my shaykh and them, they already had tomorrow's Eid for them in England. They follow Saudi, my shaykh and them. Human had requested Qasida I Burda. And Human's come all the way from America too, so his request is important to me too. Have you got Qasida e Burda? If you've got it, I'll read some. Okay. Well, let's read Durr Sharif and look for maybe downstairs. Ali? You know what the Qasida e Burda looks like, the brown crown? Maybe if Maulana is not sleeping, it's in the room that's covered. So Durr Sharif.